Welcome to Crime Most French, a fortnightly podcast covering intriguing cases carried out on French soil. Researched and narrated by Cedric and rudely interrupted by me, Melanie. We're the true crime podcast, Old Alliance. Crack open, Le Vin, and let the mayhem commence.
This is episode 92, The Carole Prince Affair. On the 17th of May, 1995, Carole Prince gets into labor, but she never makes it to the hospital. She completely disappears. The inquiry goes in circles for 5 years before the case is solved.
Oh, that's crazy. So between her house and the hospital, she just vanishes?
She just disappears.
Oh.
On the 17th of May 1995, Carole Prince is very pregnant. In fact, she's hours from giving birth. Her boyfriend, Roland Mogg, written Moog, M-O-O-G, works as a projectionist in one of the main cinemas in Strasbourg. It's called The Star.
Right, okay. I didn't realise people were still doing that. I thought it was all largely automated.
It's largely automated, but you still need people to start and stop. And
I guess so.
So
it's not quite the art of...
Remember in Aberdeen, one of the members, well, the president of the camera club was projectionist as well.
Oh, right, okay.
So it still exists.
Mm-hmm.
Carol is also working at the cinema. She's at the ticket desk. And she and Roland have been together for 2 years. It's 9:30 p.m. and the contractions have started. It's time to go to hospital, obviously. She calls her boyfriend, Roland, to tell him that she's on her way to hospital. Roland gets someone to cover for him because he was at work.
Okay.
And he's on his way as well. First, he goes to their house, where Carol has prepared her birth bag. He also gives her two dogs to a friend to look after, because they don't know whether he'll be back.
Okay.
And he calls her parents to alert them then of what that things are go, essentially.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the hospital. But when he gets there, Carol isn't there.
Uh-oh.
Which is strange, because she had a head start. She should have been there already.
Yeah.
The hospital hasn't seen her, heard of her, or assigned a room to her. Nobody has heard of her. It's like she never made it to the hospital.
Mm. Was it a long journey? I'm presuming you don't need to...
No, I don't know the journey time. I haven't checked.
I mean, Strasbourg's quite a big city, so...
Yeah, but worst case scenario, we're talking half an hour at most, and there's lots of hospitals. So
it's not something I've done, so I have no experience of giving birth.
I wouldn't think it would take very long to get to the hospital. So Roland goes around the hospital. He goes via the maternity service and goes around the rooms and asks the nurses, and just nobody's heard of her.
Okay.
No Carol. He leaves the hospital because she's not there, clearly. Mm. And start searching the streets randomly. Maybe she had an accident. Maybe something happened on the way to the hospital.
Yeah, because, I mean, at that point, you're not just worrying about her life. You're worrying about the baby as well. Yes. I mean, that's two lives.
Yes. At some point, he meets a police patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them his story. And the cops at that point are not worried. They're also probably not keen on more paperwork. So they tell him that she must have just turned back and gone back home. So go back home and she'll be there. So he goes back home, but there's no Carol home. But he finds her car a few meters, maybe a block away from their house. So she can't be gone if the car is there.
Yeah.
And with 9 months pregnant, on the way to giving birth, she can't go very far on foot.
Yeah, you're not that mobile. I wouldn't have thought it would be advisable for a... someone in labour to jump in the car. I would have thought she would have taken a taxi.
I've no idea. I don't know. So he calls the cops again.
Mm-hmm.
But this time the cops take it a bit more seriously.
Yeah, because it was a bit of a blow off. Well, she's probably just gone home.
Well, especially since Roland tells them that her purse is in the house.
Uh-huh.
And she wouldn't have left the house without her purse, because she needs all her ID and stuff. So
yeah, carte vitale. Well,
it didn't exist in 95, I don't think. But she at least needs an ID.
Mm-hmm.
Roland leads the cops to the car. The bonnet is cold and it's covered in pollen. So clearly it hasn't moved for a while. Maybe several days. So clearly she hasn't even started her journey to the hospital, which is very, very strange.
Yeah, so something's happened to her from her front door to not even making it to the car.
Yes, and also in the house, the cops find her maternity book.
Oh, God.
So she hasn't even taken that to go to the hospital, so she clearly didn't go to the hospital. So this is a complete mystery. She just disappeared at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the cops suspect Cornell straight away, because as we know from Provenza, so it's her husband, always her husband, always her husband. Also, he's the last person they knew for sure was the last person seeing her. So again, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
They question him about how things are with Carol, and Ronald says that everything's fine. There hasn't been any tension lately, just he doesn't understand where she's gone.
Mm.
The next day, Ronald calls Carol's friends to ask if any of them has seen her lately, but nobody's seen her.
God, I mean, it's supposed to be one of the happiest days of your life. I mean, just, I can't imagine what this poor guy's going through.
Mm. The next day, Carol has been missing for 48 hours, and things are getting very, very worrying.
Mm.
Especially since the cop learned that Carol's pregnancy hadn't been easy. She had to undertake treatment to finally become pregnant.
Oh, so it was an IVF?
Maybe not IVF, but at least helped.
Okay.
She had a treatment.
Right.
So she wouldn't disappear.
No.
Just like that.
No.
Because she was waiting for that baby.
Yeah, it's obviously not an unwanted pregnancy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the cops call the local taxi companies, they call the ambulance companies, public and private, they call all the hospitals in the area to check the maternity services. Nothing. It's just Carol hasn't gone anywhere, hasn't reached anywhere, she just vanished. They also check in all the hospitals if somebody has given birth, what's called in French under X, which is when you give birth without giving your identity.
Right.
I don't know if it's done much, but it used to be done when you didn't want the baby and you wanted to have it adopted, so you just don't give your name.
Mm.
Not a single person had given birth under X in the last couple of days in the region, so that wasn't that either. So they release a bolo for Carol, and they start an inquiry for kidnapping, because their assumption is she didn't go anywhere on her own.
Yeah,
it must be somebody who took her.
Mm-hmm. Just in case there are anybody who doesn't know what a bolo is, it's be on the lookout.
Yes. So they're wondering if she could have been kidnapped for the baby, even though normally, according to them, the baby kidnappers wait for the baby to be there. They don't bother with the mother normally. They don't kidnap the mother before the baby's there.
But I think maybe. I've heard a complete horror story of somebody giving a woman, kidnapping her and giving her a cesarean and taking the baby and letting the woman bleed out and die. So it's not unheard of.
No, but it's not common.
It's not common.
Normally you steal the baby. You don't steal the mother with
yes,
with the
you
baby.
Go to the hospital, wait till the baby's been born safely. But it has been done.
So they think that might be what happened. Mm. So they decide to put Roland's phone on wiretap, because if somebody calls for ransom, for example, they want to know about it straight away. The cops start searches by recreating Carol's activities before she disappeared. The previous day, she had called her OBGYN in the morning, because her contractions had started.
Mm.
Her doctor told her to go to the hospital to be checked.
Right.
But she didn't, which was weird.
Yeah.
She didn't go to the hospital. Why would she not go to the hospital if she's worried about her pregnancy? Nobody knows. But at that point, it's not like she was missing. At 3 p.m., apparently, she's seen at the cinema chatting with her colleagues.
Right.
So on the same day later, she was fine.
So something
weird. But why didn't she go to the hospital?
Yeah.
So they don't understand that. She apparently even went up to Ronald's projection cabin at some point when she was in the cinema.
Right.
Then they spent the evening together, as they had planned.
Mm.
And the next morning, Ronald did some DIY work at a friend's house. He took Carol's dogs with him, and then he went to work as usual. At 9:30, Carol called to tell him that she was going to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
The cops are sure of it because Carol called the main number at the cinema.
Right.
So she talked first to the person who answers the phone, who then transferred to Roland. So they have a witness that says, yeah, I talked to her. She called at half past nine.
Right.
So they know she was alive at 9:30 when she was going to the hospital. So it's not like she was missing before.
And he wasn't at home with her.
And
either,
he was at home. He was at work.
Yeah.
So that's what they think happened. But they still don't understand where she is. Because they still have absolutely nothing. She's just completely gone. She vanished into thin air. Cracks start to appear in the fairy tale that Roland told them when they start digging into their background. They discover, for example, that nearly nobody at the cinema knew that Carol and Roland were together. They kept it secret.
Okay.
Which is kind of weird because she was 9 months pregnant, so surely people would have asked, but she never told them who the father was. So that was a secret. On top of that, Roland's parents didn't know they had, they were about to get grandchildren.
Okay.
He didn't tell his parents that his girlfriend was pregnant.
That's kind of bizarre.
That is kind of weird, but we not tell your parents.
Yeah.
Because most people want to be grandparents, I guess.
So, I mean, and it's not like it's, you know, in the 50s. I mean, you don't have to be married.
Yes.
It's the 90s.
Yes. So now the cops are thinking that the whole affair might be a bit darker than they had thought.
Right.
But they don't have much yet.
No, especially as if he seems to have some kind of alibi.
Yes, exactly. They also learned that the couple had decided that they needed a larger flat for the baby, but Roland couldn't be bothered looking for a flat, so Carol did it on her own.
Right.
She went from estate agent to estate agent, visited flats, everything, but in the end, he refused to move into a new place with her, so she moved in with him. On her own, 7 months pregnant, because again, he couldn't be bothered.
Oh, God.
So now the cops are thinking, that's not a very nice guy, but that doesn't make him a murderer. He still had an alibi, so really, he can't have killed her. She was alive at 9:30. He was at work at 9:30, and then she disappeared. So they still don't know what's going on there.
He certainly doesn't sound like a prince.
No. The cops talk to Carol's friends, and one of them reports that she told him that she felt very alone. And she indeed was. For example, the previous Christmas and New Year's Eve, she was on her own because Roland decided to go somewhere else. The cops also learned that from Roland himself, that even though Carol was really happy to be finally pregnant, as far as he was concerned, he never wanted that baby. And for a good reason, he already had two kids from a previous relationship.
Oh, God.
That this also is... nobody knew about, not even his parents. So his parents were already grandparents and they didn't know.
Oh, no, this is all souring very quickly.
And it gets better. The cherry on the cake is that through the wiretap, the cops learned that Roland had a relationship with another woman at the cinema at the same time.
Oh, no.
And that's why he convinced Carol to keep their relationship secret.
So
Roland, the two women didn't know.
Roland is a bit of a randy old dog.
Yes. It's certainly starting to look more dodgy than at first sight. Yes.
Okay for having a quick fling with, but certainly not father material.
Yes. When she learns that her sister has disappeared, Dominique Prin, who's Carol's sister, goes to Strasbourg. And there she meets Roland to ask him what's going on and all that. And he meets her in his tiny, tiny windowless office in the cinema, not at home.
Weird.
Which is kind of weird. And the whole time they talk, he constantly leaves the room because he has urgent things to do and comes back and talks to her and leaves again, and which she finds very strange and annoying.
I mean, he's doing a really good job of looking fishy.
He does, yes. Eventually, she asks him about the cops' inquiry, and he tells her that it's very badly handled, that the cops don't know what they're doing, that it's not going anywhere, that they're not going to find anything. But he has a friend who's a gendarme, and they're running their own inquiry, and they're going to solve the case. Dominique is unimpressed. The more Roland talks, the more she's convinced that he has something to do with it.
Yeah.
She even thinks that her sister is dead and Roland killed her, but she has no proof. It's just the feeling she has talking to him.
And it's not just one murder. Oh, that's awful.
A month after the disappearance, the cops arrest and interrogate Roland. They're also convinced that he's responsible for her disappearance. Mm. And they also think that most likely she's dead by then, because it's 2 months later, she hasn't reappeared.
Yeah.
But Ronald sticks to his story. In fact, he repeats his previous statements word for word, like he's remembering something he has prepared in advance.
Mm.
When they compare the statements, it's essentially photocopies of each other. So they find that a bit strange. They don't really want somebody who changes his story all the time, but the same story exactly with the same details and everything exactly the same, that sounds wrong.
Yeah, changing your story is always a red flag for cops, but also saying something verbatim is weird and rehearsed.
Yes.
That's also a red flag for
cops.
Yeah,
that's what they think, yes. But after 12 hours, they let him go because they have nothing on him. He still isn't admitting to anything and they still don't have any evidence of anything.
Yeah, it's always difficult when when there's a missing person rather than, sadly, a body.
Yes. So during that time, Carol's family is starting to make some noise. They even go on TV at some point. There was a show like Crime Watch in France in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the name now, but same thing, essentially. Mm-hmm. Roland is even interviewed in advance for the show, and the interview is shown as part of the show.
Right.
But the journalist who did the interview is very disturbed by Roland and what he says, which is the same reaction all the viewers had watching the show.
Okay.
Roland is very cold. There's no emotion at all. He's like a lizard.
Right. So no crocodile tears at all.
Well, his girlfriend is missing. He's on board with B is missing. And he's just totally cold.
So rather than just having crocodile tears, he just has crocodile blood and is completely cold-blooded. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody thinks that's so weird. Everybody watching the show is finding that's something wrong with that dude.
Mm.
To give him a chance to sound like a human, the presenter of the show calls him during the show and starts talking to him.
Right.
When he's asked about how much Carol counted for him, Roland talks about her in the past tense. Rookie mistake.
Oh, all the red flags.
Yes. So now not only he sounds like a lizard, but he sounds like a lizard who killed someone.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But again, no evidence, still an alibi. There's just nothing to stick on him. But everybody's convinced she's dead. Everybody's convinced she killed her.
Mm.
But of course, that alibi is causing a problem to the cops. Because at 9:30, he was at work. He received the call. She was alive.
Mm-hmm.
She never made it to the hospital. And she was going to the hospital on her own. So he can't have anything to do with it. The cops interrogate the cinema staff again.
Okay.
A second time, 6 months after the disappearance. Because that call bothers them. So they ask again the woman who answered the phone. And now she's a lot less certain that she talked to Carol on that evening. She was very sure when she was asked first.
Right.
But now she thinks, maybe it wasn't Carol. Maybe it wasn't that evening. She's not sure of anything anymore.
Witnesses are always just such a weak point in a case.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not surprising that, 6 months after the fact, you might not remember things as clearly. But, how frustrating.
Yeah, but it's very important if you've been asked about it before, you should really
have the same memory of the event. Because you're actually putting it in a different part of your memory.
Exactly.
Yeah, but still.
So now if we decide that alibi doesn't work for some reason, then Carol might have disappeared the day before. Because if we discount the alibi created by the people working in the cinema who said they talked to her in the evening and saw her during the day.
Yeah.
If that had happened, for example, the previous day.
Right.
Then she could have disappeared 24 hours earlier.
Mm. And now he doesn't have an alibi for that.
Presumably. And now he doesn't have an alibi for it. Mm. And now it explains why she never went to the hospital after calling her doctor.
Yes.
Because she might have called her doctor and then she disappeared.
Yeah, and that's and that when was she never a day made it earlier. To the hospital. Yes, that
so
makes sense.
Maybe that makes more sense that way if you discard the alibi provided by the people in the cinema.
Mm.
At some point, the instructing judge decides to transfer the inquiry from the cops to the gendarmes.
Bring in the army,
yeah. But this time they're investigating a murder.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing it very differently.
Yeah.
First, they learned that that Roland had a hand in the last cinema refurbish. So he essentially redesigned the cinema for the owner.
Okay.
And rebuilt several of the rooms himself.
So he's very handy.
He's very handy, yes. So that makes them think that would be a great place for him to know small spaces and hide things, and nobody else would know about it because he actually built it himself.
Yeah. I've now got H.H. Holmes in my head, which we know half of the stuff that the legend about him aren't true, but you carry on.
Yes. So they start searching the building very seriously, way more seriously than the police did.
Yeah.
They take out the walls, the ceilings, the floor. They essentially completely destroy the building.
Wow.
And in the basement, behind the walls, they find bullet marks from a 357 Magnum in the walls.
Wow.
So somebody's been shooting a gun in the basement.
Mm. Not something you tend to do when you go to the cinema.
Normally, no. And also, Roland happens to be a member of a shooting range.
Oh.
So he has a gun.
Yeah.
And he says that he's never shot his gun in the cinema basement because that makes no sense.
Mm.
Again, the gendarmes don't have any proof that it was him, but they are now thinking,
Okay.
That guy is very fishy.
Definitely. I mean, he's more fishy than a trawler at this moment.
Yeah. So they decide to wiretap the protection box as well. And then they hear Roland talk to one of his friends, a gendarme, the one he talked to Dominique about, Carol's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And his friend, the gendarme, keeps him posted on what's going on and on all the techniques the gendarmes use, because he's a gendarme himself.
So he's forensically aware.
Exactly. They also hear other friends call Roland as soon as they've been interrogated by the gendarmes to give him a summary of what they've been talking about to the gendarmes. And also they said that they're ready to change their testimonies if he wants them to. So now they know that not only he's fishy, but he has a very tight control over a bunch of people around him.
Mm.
So they arrest him third time and they ask him directly, where's Carol's body?
Mm.
But he denies knowing anything about it, as usual. The judge decides to charge him anyway, to keep him in jail for a while.
Yeah.
But he knows that it's not going to stick because they still have no evidence of anything. All they have is a guy that looks very fishy.
He's very controlling. I just don't see him cracking.
Yes.
Without actual evidence.
Yes. So they know that a good lawyer is going to get him out very quickly.
Yes. Oh.
So the gendarmes need to find something now.
Yeah.
They get lucky. In March 1999, a friend of Roland's decides to tidy his garage where Roland has stored some of his stuff. In some newspapers, I don't really know what happened, because in some newspapers, they describe it as the guy wanted to clear his garage and found stuff that Roland had put there that he had forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
In some other newspapers, Roland asked that person to empty the garage of his stuff.
Okay.
I don't know which it is because really it's half-half, so I don't know.
Okay. But somebody moved Roland's stuff, whether it was him or someone.
Somebody had Roland's stuff,
yeah.
Knew about it,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason decided to get rid of it. And in the garage, there's a big canteen box, a big metal box, like an army box.
Oh, yes,
With a big padlock.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who owns the garage calls Roland's brother, because Roland's in jail, to come and help him.
Mm-hmm.
Roland has a twin brother called Daniel. So Daniel comes to collect his stuff, really. And their plan is to throw everything to the recycling center because there's no value in all that stuff. But unfortunately, the recycling center is closed on that day.
Okay.
It's a bank holiday, as far as I remember.
Oh, just like today?
Yes.
Or is it a déchetterie like our déchetterie that's only open for five minutes once a week?
No, it wasn't expected. It was because of bank holiday.
A déchetterie is a recycling plant.
Yeah. They get curious about the box. Because it kind of is big, is full of stuff, but not super heavy. And they think, why would there be a massive padlock on that box?
Mm.
They're very curious about the box. So they decide to open it. So the gendarme breaks the lock and they open the box. And in there, they discover a boon. And the gendarme says, oh, Somebody stole some rabbit bones. And then they discover hair.
Oh my God.
So clearly it's human remains that are in that box.
Oh no.
And they decide the best thing to do is to dump the box in the landfill under some stones and forget about it. Because that's normal.
Yeah. Well, psychopaths.
But after a few days, they have remorse. So the gendarme calls Daniel, Ron's twin.
Yeah, the brother, yeah.
And tells him, okay, we have to do something. We can't just dump that box with the body in it. We have to tell the cops. So you have to go and tell the cops.
Oh, he has to go.
Well, he's his twin brother.
He's wanted for his job, is he?
Well, possibly. And also, Daniel is Ron's twin brother, and they're fairly close. And he said, okay, it's your responsibility. It's your brother. You have to go and tell the cops that we found somebody in the box.
Fair enough.
So he does.
I think he actually has an occupational responsibility to have not done anything at the time other than get the gendarmes involved.
Yeah. So the cops come, and they collect the box, and they discover in it Carol's body and the baby's body.
Oh, no.
The autopsy shows that she was killed by a gunshot. And the autopsy can't really tell anything about the baby because at that point, it's 4 years later. It's not clear whether it was killed before or after it was born. They can't tell.
I don't really well think about it. I don't know about you.
So the judge notifies Roland of their findings and she interrogates him again.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, Roland changes his story. He says that it was an accident. He says that they had an argument in the cinema,
mm-hmm.
and he went down to the basement to sort out a few things, and Carol followed him. And his gun just happened to be there.
And it just happened to go off.
And just happened to go off.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck you, Roland.
So he described how he hid her body in the basement for 2 years. He wrapped it in rubbish bags and covered it in expanding foam to hide the smell.
Yeah. God, that poor woman, that poor baby.
Yes, when he learned that the cops were going to search it, the gendarmes were going to search the cinema again.
Oh, he moved it.
He moved it.
Yeah.
Because they were going to find it.
Mm.
So that's when he put it in the box and put it in the friend's garage. The cops have a few problems in their inquiry. One of the things is the gendarmes discover that there are several vegetal bits in the bags. But if you went from the basement to the box to the garage, there's no reason why there would be bits of like tree and pine and stuff in the bags. It makes no sense. They can't explain that. They think that something else happened to the body in the meantime. It didn't go straight from the basement to the box to the garage.
Right.
It went somewhere else first.
So maybe he tried to dig barrier
in the forest or something like that.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want to admit that. He says, no, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
But they can't understand why there would be some bits of trees in the bags. So their story isn't complete. They know it is not complete, but they don't know what it is. During a reenactment, the gendarmes test how much could be heard in the cinema if somebody fired a gun, especially a 357, in the basement. And it's very clearly heard.
Yeah, well, that doesn't... If you're watching a Martin Scorsese film,
well, yes, exactly.
It's going to match the soundtrack.
That creates a mystery because how could nobody have heard when it was fired?
Yeah.
It could be maybe that people thought it was part of the film soundtrack. Yeah. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe nobody knows, but it was clearly heard when they tested it. So they don't understand what happened there. It's a second mystery.
I don't think that's much of a mystery, to be honest. There must have been a film.
I don't know. And the third problem they have is that they don't have the weapon. They don't have the gun.
Okay.
It disappeared. And Roland said he threw it into a lake. They search local lakes. They can't find it. So they have a few problems in their story to really make it stick.
Mm.
Eventually, Roland's lawyer advises him to tell him where the gun is. Once the gendarme collect it, they run some tests to see if it was possible that it went off on its own or if it went off without being triggered. And no, it's not possible. The trigger is very hard. You have to really push the trigger for it to go. It can't happen by accident.
I mean, I don't really know much about guns, but I think you have to kind of like physically have pressure on the trigger.
If you remember an episode of Mythbusters, they tested some rifles that the myth was that they could fire from being in the car and bumps in the road.
All right, yes.
And it It was a specific rifle that was known for being very, very sensitive and
to really hear trigger.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So sometimes it would fire on its own.
Yeah.
They didn't manage to reproduce it.
No.
But they said it wasn't impossible.
But, I mean, that's a rifle.
Yeah, it was a completely different gun.
That's not like a... I mean, that's quite a big gun, isn't it?
A 357 is big, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's not known for firing on its own. It's not known for being easy to fire. So, no, they tested it and it's just not possible.
Magnum's been manufacturing guns a long time. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't put out shoddy.
Yeah, no, that's bullshit. It didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
In September 2000, Roland is interrogated again, still in jail, and the judge shows him the conclusions of the gendarme's inquiry, in particular the fact that the gun couldn't fire itself. Once again, he changes his story.
Okay.
Now he admits that it wasn't an accident. It was a crime of passion. He killed Carol because she wanted to leave him. So that's his new story.
Even though she had moved in, 2 months before?
Even though she had moved him into his house 2 months earlier, that she had her baby being born the next day, potentially. But that's now his explanation. So at that point, the cops decided they have enough, so they go to trial, which starts on the 27th of November 2001. Roland's brothers and friends testify that he's a good guy, that he must have slipped on that day, that it's not his fault, and all that.
No.
But again, during the whole trial, he's totally cold.
Yeah.
He shows no emotion, and that doesn't work very well with the jury.
Of course not.
Because it's like he doesn't care.
Mm.
His personality is described by psychologists as being intelligent, able to understand what he was doing, but very calculated and very compartmentalized.
Yeah.
They discover, for example, that his friends don't know each other. So he has kept his friends separate, the same way he has kept Carol from the other girl separate.
Yeah, yeah.
The same way his parents didn't know they had grandchildren already and all that. So he keeps everything separate and doesn't mix. That's a good way to keep control over people.
Yeah, he's a complete and utter psychopath. Yeah.
So after 9 days, he's sentenced to 25 years in prison with a minimum of 15.
He should really be charged for 2 murders.
I probably was, yes. I suspect he was. But 25 years is pretty much the maximum you can have in France.
And yeah, so of course.
The prosecutor requested 30 because that's really the maximum that you can have. And usually it's for serial murderers. You have to kill a whole bunch of people to get 30 years. Normally, 25 is the maximum, so he was sentenced to the maximum normal.
Yeah.
And in prison now, he's still in prison, of course, he restores old films for the National Archives.
Oh, fuck him.
And that's the end of the story.
Oh, God. And that's when you go to the cinema that you think the deadliest villains are up on screen. Not in this instance.